We come today to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, there's just three chapters, a very short book, but very power-packed. God means business in the book of Zephaniah. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We will be looking at Zephaniah chapter 1. Today. And we begin in verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, during the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. Now, if you remember from our study of the kings of Israel, Josiah was a godly king, very godly. He was the king of the southern part of Israel, known as Judah. And Josiah made a strong effort to bring the people back to God. And here's the word of the Lord. Verse 2. God says, I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. The wicked will have only heaps of rubble when I cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. God will destroy everything on earth, he says. Zephaniah didn't waste any time getting into the meat of his sermon, did he? He didn't start his sermon with a joke or two like sometimes is done today. He begins with a bang. God's going to destroy everything, and all sinners will have left is rubble. The thing that they put their hope in. Stuff that they live for is going to be gone, and they will have nothing because they didn't have God in their life. Verse 4, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. I will cut off from this place every remnant of Baal, the names of the pagan and idolatrous priests. Judah was worshiping the false god Baal, and they would not quit, so they would be punished. 5. Those who bow down on the roofs to worship the starry host, those who bow down and swear by the Lord, and who also swear by Moloch. You know, the Israelites, they were the universalists of the day. They were very open-minded. And of course, that is looked upon as being a virtue today. But that's what the Israelites were. They worshiped God plus any false gods that they found too. They even worshiped Moloch, who demanded child sacrifices. And they thought it was perfectly fine. God doesn't mind. Look what God says in verse 5. Those who bow down on the roofs to worship the starry host, those who bow down and swear by the Lord, and who also swear by Moloch. Verse 6, those who turn back from following the Lord, and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of him. See, these people may have thought that they still worship the Lord, along with Moloch and any other god that they chose to worship, so-called. We'll just add these other gods to our worship of God. It'll be fine. We want to be open-minded. Whatever anybody wants, that's fine. They may have thought that they still worship the Lord, but God sure didn't see it that way. He saw it as them turning their back on him. 7. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those he has invited. It says the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. They've been sacrificing to false gods. They've been trying to sacrifice to the one true God. God says, I've got a sacrifice too. And the sacrifice God has prepared is the nation Judah. He will satisfy his justice by punishing them for their sin because they refuse to repent. And the invited guests are the Babylonians who God will use to punish his people. Verse 8. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's son and all those clad in foreign clothes. God will punish many people in Judah. They were wearing foreign clothes. In other words, they acted like the heathen nations around them. Verse 9. On that day I will punish all who avoid stepping on the threshold, who fill the temple of their gods with violence and deceit. They avoid stepping on the threshold. You say, I can't do that, that's a sin. Well, you can do it, that's fine. But you see, it was against the rules for those who worship the false god Dagon to step on thresholds. So you see, Israel was following that idolatrous rule and that idolatrous religion. They were superstitious. They were idolaters. And that's why they would suffer. It wasn't the fact that they stepped on the threshold. It's the fact why they didn't step on the threshold. That was the problem. The why. 10. On that day declares the Lord, on that day declares the Lord, a cry will go up from the fish gate, wailing from the new quarter, and a loud crash from the hills. And so the businessmen who had become wealthy through corruption, they would be destroyed too. Those who did business at the gates, they will wail, they will weep because commercialism had become their god. Notice verse 11, wail, you who live in the market district. All your merchants will be wiped out. All who trade with silver will be ruined. The economy is going to crash. It's part of the judgment of God. 12, at that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. There were those who didn't think God cared about sin. They thought the Lord wouldn't punish them. But God says, I'm going to search the entire nation, and I'm going to find, and I'm going to punish all who think that they can get away with their sin. 13, their wealth will be plundered, their houses demolished. They will build houses but not live in them. They will plant vineyards but not drink the vine. All their work, all their effort will be for nothing. The grapes the people grow will be destroyed before they have a chance to make them into wine. 14. The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. Listen. The cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter, the shouting of the warrior there. Bitter food does not make people happy. And when God punishes Judah, it's going to be bitter. No one's going to be happy. 15, that day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. When God judges his people, they're not going to be happy. Everything they experience will be bad because bad is how they have acted. 16, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. Trumpet and battle cry refers to the air raid sirens of that day, so to speak. The trumpets are going to be blasting left and right. Alarms are going to be going off throughout the land. 17. I will bring distress on the people, and they will walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their entrails like filth. The people, God says, will be like blind men. They will grope around trying to find a way to escape the wrath of God, but they will not find it. They will have no answers. They will find no way out. 18. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. They're not going to be able to buy their way out of hell or buy their way out of trouble. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live in the earth. Like I said, they were not going to be able to buy themselves out of their troubles, as they probably were used to doing. Not with God, you can't. God's wrath comes suddenly on the ungodly, and there's no escape. He says it's going to come suddenly, and it's not that he doesn't warn. God always warns the ungodly. It's just that they're so busy with their sin, too busy to hear or believe his warning. So it was in Judah. So it'll be on the last day too, when Jesus returns. Too busy. Too busy to hear the word of God, too busy to care. Next time, Zephaniah chapter 2. Until then, Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.